It's great to be together and encourage you to have your Bibles open. We're going to look in Romans chapter 12 this morning. That's where we're going to study from. Romans chapter 12, and the thought behind this, the theme behind this lesson is celebrating our abilities. It's unfortunate, but sometimes we forget to celebrate who we are. It seems sometimes, and I as a preacher am conscientious of that and the role that I play, that we don't just sit up here and berate and chastise and continuously rebuke. The idea, and I have to be honest, when I come here, one of the goals I had for me was to be encouraging, to lift people up, to encourage you in your own work, and as well as inherently as I do lessons, it encourages me. But I wanted to share that with you. And that's one of these lessons this morning that's on that theme. Encouraging one another, celebrating our abilities. As we read Romans 12 and look through, there is a whole list of abilities there, a whole list of works and things that we can do. And in looking at this, there are some cautions in this section of Scripture, but there's also some things to highlight for ourselves to encourage us in that regard. So I want to do that this morning. So I encourage you to have your Bible open. Basically, we're going to stay in this one section of Scripture. So Romans 12, 3 through 6, the theme is, in my words, honoring one another. Honor one another. If you look, I use the words, forgive my English, but basically it's a soberly sandwich. In verse 3, it talks about being sober. Notice the wording there. I say unto you, through the grace given to me, every person that is among you, do not think more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly. And then in verse 16, notice the parallel thought here in verse 16. Be the same mind one for another. Mind not high things, but King James says, condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. The parallel thoughts in verse 3 and verse 16, the English Standard Version of verse 16 says, don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. The idea is don't be puffed up. Don't be supreme in your mind. Don't be haughty, the English Version says, a word that we would use. But be soberly. Think rightly. Think straightly. What is true. What is honestly true about you. And that is the sandwich in this verse. Everything in between that has to do with these things, about how we perceive our abilities. Honoring one another is a part of that. And Paul also makes the point here in verse 3 that all these things are originated from God. So even for someone who wished to boast about some ability, God gave every man anyways. Who are you? And we talked in our Wednesday night devotional, but Mark made comment about Job. God basically says, who are any of you to question me, right? We have no reason to boast in ourselves. And that's the whole context of Scripture is man is nothing. God is the giver of these things, and God gave these things, and that keeps us in our place. A phrase there that's maybe a little bit challenging, but it says measures of faith, and it results in different abilities. It's not the faith that's given, but each of us are different. We're not all the same. We're not all identical. We never will be all the same. You're not me. You don't want to be me. There's enough. I've been told many times that they made one of you and they broke the mold. We don't need any more of you in the world. I'll grant you that. Okay, you don't want to be me, and I don't want to be you. We are ourselves. Honoring that and celebrating that. So abilities given in regard to individual faith is maybe the best way of putting that. God originated. This is not of our own doing. This is of God's giving. So, proper self-estimation. Who am I? It's thinking soberly, thinking rightly, logically, reasoning out properly. So proper self-estimation. So first of all, as we talked about, not haughty, not self-elevated, not proud, but neither the opposite of that. You know, we're not supposed to be despondent or downtrodden either. You know, we have times in our life and we may feel worthless at times, and I berate myself over things I do that are dumb or stupid and not what I want to do, not getting the results I want, whatever the case may be. We all do that enough. You don't need my help, and usually I don't need your help either, right? But we don't want to be so proud above, put ourselves above God, but neither are we worthless. We're His children. We've been given gifts. And so we should celebrate this. A proper self-estimation is not that we are proud, not haughty, but neither are we worthless. We have self-worth. We have value. To be sober about it is realize we are able. We are valuable. We have self-worth. And one of the points I want to draw from this as we study today is respect your worth. Realize your worth. See your worth and be proud of that. Not above everybody else, but be proud. You're in your own self, in your own. You have value. You have value in the kingdom. Every one of us has value in the kingdom. And I think that's what Paul, one of the lessons Paul wants us to realize that. In verse 4 through 8, now exercise these abilities. Let's read again through 4 through 8 here with me. For as in the church, we have many members, but one body. In other words, we're one body. We're one unit here in the church here. We're all Christians in this church. But we don't all have the same office or the same ability. In verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and members one of another. We're joined together. Having then differing gifts. Every one of us is different. Every one of us has different purpose, a different ability. Having then different gifts, according to the grace that is given to us, whether a prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of faith. Or of ministry, let us wait on our ministry. And the ministry just being a servant. Certainly prophecy in this case was certainly a spiritual gift. But the rest of these, I submit to you, are not spiritual gifts. Of ministry or service, let us do a serving. But he that teaches on teaching. He that encourages, let him on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. So there's, can all of us be merciful? All of us have that ability within us, I would say. Are we rulers? We may or may not have roles of be supervisors in our roles at work, whatever they may be. We give, we all just gave. And so we can do these things. We can all encourage and exhort one another. And maybe some of us may be better at one than the other, and that's okay. And that's what Paul's trying to get across here. You are you. Let's celebrate. Honor your ability. Honor each other for our different abilities, because we're not all the same. Let's celebrate these things. Prophecy, by all means, that was a spiritual gift, but the rest of these are just, I want to say, just common attributes, common abilities. But he wants us to use these and excel at these. So one of the thoughts behind this is certainly keep it in mind with what Jesus taught in the parable of talents. Discover your ability. I'll say it's just, well, I put this slide. So discover it, develop it, perfect it, rinse and repeat. We joke about that, about your hair conditioners, right? You just keep on going. It's never ending. It's never ending. It took me almost 50 years to figure out a path that I'm comfortable with in life. And some abilities that I'm even yet developing. I wish I'd learned that back in my 20s, and maybe teens. That might be not realistic, but at least in my 20s, maybe I could. 50s! I'm not that old, guys. I'm not much beyond that. It just seems that we're going to be continuing to discover our abilities and develop and perfect them through our life. And there's no reason to dishonor one another or another person because they haven't figured theirs out. Honor one another, he comes out and brings it out here. Verse 9 through 10 now, read with me. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And honor preferring one another. Honor one another. Again, we're talking about differences. We're talking about different abilities. Honor each other. Celebrate our ability. Celebrate your ability. Celebrate my ability. Honor one another in that regard. Notice he brings out here that King James says, in honor, preferring one another. The English Standard says, outdo another one another in showing honor. You go. You're great. Celebrate in what you can do. Do good at it. Excel at showing respect for each other. And we're going to kind of touch on this as Paul dealt with the Corinthians. The Corinthians misused theirs for superiority sake. He's teaching the same thing here, making a little bit different points, but the idea is we're to honor each other's abilities. Celebrate our abilities. And the foundation of this is respect ourselves. Respect who you are and the gifts that you have, whatever abilities you have. You have worth. You have ability. You are able. And that is great. And it's not mine. And that's great. You are you. And that's great. Be you. And let's celebrate your ability and my ability. Honor one another. And then we get into the Corinthian letter. You can talk about the pitfalls. When envy comes along and jealousy, we should not covet each other's abilities. Because I'm not you and you're not me. And you don't want to be me. And so that's great. You're you. Be you and excel at being you. And I think we see that here as Paul talks and teaches them. Celebrate our abilities. In this case, the haughty and proud, certainly. But you know what? Sometimes the insecure can fall to this jealousy as well. Not just the proud. It's not just the haughty. That's not the self-elevated. But sometimes if we're insecure, we can be jealous. Be you. You have great worth. You have great value. Each one of us has that. And let's celebrate those things. So in verse 11 through 13, as I look to this, excel at our abilities. Start in verse 11. Not slothful in business, or in other words, be diligent. Not slothful in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Patient tribulation. Continuing in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given the hospitality. Excel in what you do. And now he just lists some here, and that's the way I put it. Not slothful, or that's diligence. Be fervent, rejoicing, enduring, continually praying, and then giving to the needs of others. And the antonyms of these are being slothful, or a minimalist, or lethargic, or inconsistent. Be you, and be great at you. Be great at what you can do. Let's all celebrate what you bring and what you do. Let's celebrate our abilities. Notice, I put the highlighting the exceptional or excelling parts of this of these verses. And do it in harmony. Another thing, and it's a consistent theme in this, is being in harmony. The idea is we're not competing against each other. We shouldn't. We don't want to. I can celebrate in your strength. You can celebrate in my strength and be unified and be in harmony. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. If you're rejoicing, yay, yay, rah, rah, I'm going to rejoice with you. If you're sorrowful, I'm going to be sorrowful with you. Be of the same mind. Be in harmony. Bless them that persecute you, rejoice with the rejoicing, weep with those who are weeping, but be of the same mind. Be in harmony. Be in unity might be another way, but harmonize together. We're different. We just sung somewhat four-part harmony. I don't know if we have all the parts. I'm sure somebody might have sung alto. Alto is usually the one that's coming missing. Somebody sang alto here. I don't know. But we sung in harmony for the most part, right? We kept up with Mark. Mark did good. We did good. Yay! Rah! Rah, rah, yay, yay. Celebrate our abilities. As a group, we harmonize together in our work and celebrating each other. We work together, respecting each other's abilities because we're different people with different abilities, but one God. He makes that point throughout this. There's one God. It's from He is the originator of this. So encourage, support, honor, and cheer on one another. Celebrating in harmony, celebrating our abilities. Without the competition, because that's really what Corinthians is about. The whole letter of 1 Corinthians, actually. But we can see the tone here behind the scenes. Paul's dealing with a similar difficulty in the church in Rome, but he deals with it a different way. Honor one another. Celebrate one another's strength. Celebrate your strength. Be sober about your strength. Because everybody has worth. Don't look down on somebody because they're not you. And don't look down on somebody because you might perceive they have a better ability than you have. That's the self-worth part of it. It's without competition, the harmony. So as we think about this, look at this. In Romans 12, honoring one another or celebrating our abilities soberly, rightly, according to what we truly have, what our abilities are, what we have discovered or what we may discover in the future. We all have that potential. God originated these things. So be sober-minded in ourselves, not haughty or proud, but neither are we despondent or downtrodden. We have worth. We all have worth. We are all valuable in the kingdom. We all have an ability in the kingdom. Let's celebrate that. Let's lift up and do great in our own abilities. So discovering those things ourselves, to honor one another in our own abilities, excelling at our abilities, and then do that is bring harmony in our abilities, to be harmonized as we work together. We can do this because we're not all the same and we never will be the same. But we can honor ourselves, each other, as we serve here. So what are some lessons? You kind of picked those out as we went through, didn't you? What are lessons? Let's celebrate and respect your ability. You are valuable. You have great worth in the kingdom and in the church, whatever, in life. You have great worth. Respect that. You know, and respect others. You know, as we talked about Jacob and Joseph this morning, Jacob created an environment of envy. Why? Because he favored Joseph and Benjamin. He does so many things that favored, lifting them up above his brothers, that prejudice, it caused envy. And those things can happen as well. We don't want to envy each other that way. Believe and know who you are. At least know that you are on a path and have that confidence and celebrate what you can do and what you do. And then support and cheer others on in their ability. Because we don't want a competition. When competition arises, we saw that in Jacob's family because he showed, prejudice and favoritism. Everybody has worth. I'm not here to outdo you. I don't want you to try to outdo me. You're great. You're wonderful. And that's great. Excel at what you can do. And I want to hope you encourage you in what you can do and what you know to do and what you're able to do. And realizing, and this is probably one of the things that we seem to have an abundance of sometimes in life, right? Someone, there's always a critic. Someone always going to complain about something, isn't it? Ain't that right? There's always a critic. I don't know how to get away from that, right? It's unfortunate, and I hope as I preach, I don't come across as a critic. My goal is to encourage and inspire, but yet there's someone always who's always going to find something wrong. They're sometimes called, there's just nobody's perfect. Don't let someone else's criticism make you despondent or make you feel worthless. Don't let them take that from you. How about that? Don't let them take that. They're always going to be out there. So nobody's perfect. Don't expect to be perfect. And sometimes in the church we portray this that we're going to be perfect and we are perfect and we're not. Look at our abilities, what we can do. You know, you tell myself, stop berating yourself. You're not really as bad as you're making yourself out. I'll share this with you. When I got sick with COVID, I was down for a couple of weeks, and I was, when I say down, I was laying on the couch moping around. You know, I didn't have any energy, and I don't handle sitting around, laying around very well. I berated myself, you're an idiot. What are you doing laying here? And I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like going doing anything. I need a rest. I just berate myself. You know what? You keep berating yourself like that, you will become who you tell yourself you are. You know, and I'm not saying nobody here is living in rebellious against God. We all care what God thinks about us. And we're trying. So we're not in that category. So stop berating ourselves. And it was just ugly. I just felt miserable. Besides being sick, I felt miserable in my head, you know. But we do that, don't we? We do that. Recognize and learn. We realize, right, our personal studies help. Bible class lessons. That we have. And maybe there's someone in your life. And that may not be me, and that is fine. You have somebody in your life you respect. That's great. I'm not that person, and that's okay. There is someone who can help guide you. You know, when we look in our personal life, if you want to go on a diet, or you want to learn to be a better manager, or you want to learn how to operate a piece of equipment, There's all kinds of educational resources out there. Maybe drive a bus. Mary Jo needs bus drivers. You want to drive a bus? Mary Jo can get you on a bus, and it pays good. No, Mary Jo. You didn't watch TV the other night? She was on TV. She's a superstar now. If you want to drive a bus, there's a place you can go to learn to do that. And we all recognize those resources. When we realize we're lacking, we'll go and find that. And I hope in some ways that's what you view this, our getting together here as, a place to learn and to grow and develop. And I try, and my goal is to help that process to learn and develop these things. And so there are those who we see as qualified. I recognize that. And we're not, look, once again, I say this often, we're not here because we're rebelling against God and we're obstinate against what He wants us to do. We're here because we care. And we all recognize that. So recognize those resources. Be careful, because the critics are there. They are destructive. They will wear you down. And just ask me. I wore myself down. I had COVID. I berated myself all the time because I wouldn't get off the couch. I was sick. Didn't feel like it, right? Don't want to get up. I'm hungry, so I'll fix me something. I'm going to lay down on the couch because I'm tired. I don't feel good. You know, we can berate ourselves, but there are people external to us that learn to control those things, because the Pharisees in Matthew 7, we talked about this one Wednesday night, the hypercritical and the hypocritical, they're dogs and hogs, they're evil men. And if you read through that, they give rocks and serpents. If you twist, turn that around the other way about how good God is and how good a father is. And they give the evil men, they'll give rotten fruit, and they give rocks and serpents. The ravening wolves. So you know what? We have a new phrase that goes probably in our dictionary now, and that is social distancing. You know what? For people in your life that's not supporting you, and they're always being critical, you probably do this anyways, don't you? You're going to kind of keep them at a distance. You know? I'm not going to spend much time around. I can only stand to be around so-and-so for only a couple minutes. We have a family reunion coming up in a month, 4 weeks. And Dennis is going to preach, by the way, so you'll be glad to hear that, I'm sure. I'll be social distancing from a few people. Is there some people I can only tolerate about this much of? They just can't, you know? It's okay. Respect your ability. Respect yourself. And respect others. And that's what, to me, that's what it's about. Just celebrate our abilities. You know, this is Mother's Day. This is not a Mother's Day's lesson, but you know what? Talking about celebrating the worth of a woman. You think men have ever had trouble recognizing the worth of a woman? Don't answer that, ladies. In Proverbs, I did do a lesson from Ruth last year, but in Proverbs 31, you know, we talk about that worthy woman. If you look at that Hebrew word, worthy is kind of an understatement when we talk about Proverbs 31. That word in Hebrew means might, means strength, means power. The mighty woman of Proverbs 31, you think men have had trouble saying that over the years? Women are mighty. There's great strength. Let's celebrate. We celebrate mothers today. Celebrate their strength. And I'm going to read that for your sake, because I've only gone 23 minutes so far, for whoever's counting. Proverbs 31, celebrating our strength, in particular the women of our household here, of our group. Who can find a woman of strength? To use the more appropriate Hebrew definition there, for her price is far above rubies. And you think about this, think about the strength of this woman. I know you probably have, right? The heart of her husband trusted her, so that she has no need of spoil. She will do him no evil and not good all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax, works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night, gives meat to her household and a portion to her maids. I know everybody gets up now and cooks breakfast for the men in her house, right? That still happens. Oh, never mind. I didn't ask that. She buys a field. She goes out and searches for a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. This is a mighty woman. This is a woman of great strength, isn't it? Can we celebrate that? Absolutely. She girds her loins with strength. Strength is in her arms. She perceives her merchandise is good. Her cattle does not go out by night. She is conscientious of what she is able to do. She lays her hand to the spindle, her hands hold the distaff. She stretched out her hand to the poor, as she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household. Her clothes are scarlet. She makes herself covering the tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen. She sells it. She delivers girdles to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. A mighty woman. A mighty woman. Let's celebrate. We're celebrating Mother's strength. Let's celebrate all of our individual strength. May God bless you in your work. May God bless me in my work. And let's pray for that, you know? Because as we talked about last week, sometimes prayer is kind of intimate. We kind of expose ourselves. And sometimes we don't because we're insecure. Sometimes we're insecure for a good reason because people make us insecure. And that's part of it. Sometimes we have to deal with those things. So encourage you in your life. Celebrate your worth. You're a great worth. You're a great value. You're a great value to this work here and to this work we do together. We're all critical in our work here. And may God bless us all. If you're not a Christian, would you like to become one? This is always, we put the our Lord's invitation before you to be baptized, to have your sins washed away. You do that and be put right relationship with Him, be put into the church. And if you've done started that walk and you've stumbled along the way, we want to be here to help you and encourage you. And we always offer these invitations. I want you to know that today. If not any other time, today we want to be here to encourage you to do what you can in your service to the Lord. So if you're a subject of our gospel call, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?